looking at I've been going through a sermon series in the first service called Witnessing Acts.
我们在第一堂的聚会，我们是在一个系列当中讲《使徒行传》讲到这个做这个主的见证。
And it's the story about how the church starts from a small group of 12 individuals becomes the church that we know today. That's all over the world.
是讲到这个初代的教会怎么样从十二个使徒开始，一直发展到我们今天所看到的这个教会。
And we are in a place where the transition is starting to happen.
我们在这个地方开始看到这个转变正在发生的这一段经文。
Because before this, the message of the gospel has been shared with mainly people that were of Jewish origin.
因为在这段经文之前主要的是讲到这个福音在那些犹太人当中传开。
But in the last few chapters, the message now has started to move into the Gentile community, to the people that didn't grow up with the gospel, didn't grow up with Jewish tradition.
而接下来在我们这之前的几章就开始看到这福音开始转向这些没有犹太人背景的这些外邦人，在外邦人当中传开。
In many ways, this follows the vision of God in Acts chapter 1, verse 8.
这个其实也正符合了神的自己他的意象，在《使徒行传》第一章第八节那个地方所说的。
If you read Acts chapter 1, verse 8, I always say it's like a table of contents into the story of Acts.
这个第一章第八节，其实在我看来就好像是使徒行传它的目录一样。
Because it talks about what Jesus says is that when he left or to be with God, he says these words, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in all Judea, and then in Samaria, and to the end of the earth.
在那里主耶稣基督讲到说他升天以后圣灵要降在你们身上，你们就必得着能力，并要在耶路撒冷、犹太全地和撒玛利亚直到地极做我的见证。
So a few chapters before, the conversion of a Roman soldier Cornelius happens.
在前面几章就讲到有一个罗马的百夫长哥林牛，他就信主了。
So the church realized, wait, the gospel is no longer just for Jewish originated people.
所以在那时候教会里面的这些弟兄姐妹就发现到认识到这个福音原来不只是为了那些原来是犹太人所预备的。
And I want you to see today is that change from the old way of doing things to the new way of doing things is a big step for the church.
所以要今天看到的是怎么样从这个旧的方法这个转变到新的方法，这在教会来讲是一个大的转变。
And so that's what we're going to look at today. How does it affect the church? How does it change a community of people to start to do things a completely different way?
就开始看到他们怎么样在这个属神的国这百姓当中开始一个的影响，还有他们完全新的做法。
Because up to this point, besides Peter who just did it, and maybe Paul, nobody else.Or not Peter, another guy, Philip. Nobody else has ever done this. This is all theory. It hasn't become practice. It hasn't become natural practice for the church. Here's a background. The city we're looking at today, the setting of all that's going to happen, is the city of Antioch.
今天我们要所看的这个故事，它的发生的背景是在有一个城市叫做安提阿。
And this is not up to this point before the major city that everybody focused on was Jerusalem.
因为在这之前，大家所关注的这个重要的这个城市就是在耶路撒冷这个城。
But in the Greco-Roman Empire, the world at that time, Antioch was the third largest city.
但是在当时的世界他们地中海的世界地理里面来讲，罗马帝国里面安提阿是第三大城。
Yeah, there was Rome in Italy. There was Alexandria in Egypt.
所以在这个意大利有这个罗马，在埃及有亚历山大。
But here in the Middle East, like right here in Israel area, there is Antioch, which is over 500,000 people live in that city.
在中东这个地方就有一个城市是安提亚，大概有50万人。
And like I said before, the story of the gospel has been going to people that were more likely to believe in God because they were already God-fearers. They were people that believed in God.
因为在这之前，讲到这个福音是传到这些本来就很有可能会信主的这些人，因为他们本来就是敬畏神的人。
If you look in Acts, you'll see the story of the Ethiopian eunuch. He was already looking for God.
所以如果你看这个前面的故事里面讲到那个伊索比亚的这个太监。
You have Cornelius the soldier that was also fearful of God.
或者是像哥林牛这个百夫长，虽然他们都是外邦人，但是他们都是敬畏神的人。
And you even have Saul who hated Christians, but then became a Christian himself.
甚至像保罗，他是这个刚开始的时候是非常仇恨基督徒的，但是他后来也信主。
And what you see in verse 20 today is something happens that's different.
但是今天我们所看到的第二十节开始有一件事情就不一样了。
It says, there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who coming to Antioch spoke to the Hellenists who were preaching the Lord Jesus.
二十节那里就讲到说，他们当中有塞浦路斯和古利奈人，他们到了安提亚，也向希腊人传讲主耶稣。
And you got to understand, people from Cyprus was the island that's across in the Mediterranean.Cyrene is further south. These are people that are not part of the Jewish culture community.
但是如果你要记得，塞浦路斯是就在这个他们这个地中海对这个的上面的这个小岛，还有从南边来的这古利奈人，他们都不是这个原来这批这个犹太人中的基督徒。
They were from a faith, the Greco-Roman faith, which is very many gods. There's a lot of different gods they would worship, polytheistic.
所以这些人原来生活的环境是在一个多神信仰的环境当中。
And I know you're not there, but if you have your Bible, you want to go a little bit further ahead. If you go to Acts chapter 13, Sasset, if you go to Acts chapter 13, verses 1 to 3, what you see is the impact on the church is the church that is at Antioch becomes a very diverse church.
所以当我们这个虽然我们还没有看到这个地方，但是如果你向前看，看到使徒行传第十三章的时候，你就看见那时候到了后来那个教会就变成一个非常多元化的一个教会。
The people there, the leaders are from different countries.
那个地方的教会的领袖是从世界各地来到的。
Different
地方。
Ethnic backgrounds.
有许多不同的这个文化的背景。
Different social economic classes.
也有不同的社会的阶层的背景。
So it was this multi-ethnic, multi-generational, multi-class community that was there.
所以在那个地方就有了多元的这个教会，有不同的种族，不同的社会阶层，还有不同的文化。
And if you read in our text today, verse 25 to 26,
如果你看我们今天的经文里面讲到的第二十四二十五节，二十五二十六节。
Basically, I think it's there. Oh, it's actually verse 2, the last chapter in chapter 13.
在第十三章的第二节。
Their church of Antioch is a very prayerful church. They pray. They worship God.
在安提阿的教会是一个非常注重祷告的教会。
They fast.
他们禁食。
And then also in verse 29 and 30 of chapter 11, they are very generous with their resources. They share what they have to help others.
在第十一章末后二十九三十那个地方也看见他们是一个非常慷慨的教会尽他们所能与人分享。
Did you see the church here? It's not passive.
所以你看到这个教会不是一个被动的教会，是非常主动的教会。
And I think we can learn from this. This church is very beautiful.
我想我们可以从这当中来学习，这是一个非常好的一个教会。
So what we're looking at today is this thing. How did the Antioch church become that church? How did it transform into that church that is so effective to sharing Jesus to all these different people?
所以我们要看是怎么安提阿教会是怎么样被转变成一个在传福音的事情上极为有效的、有果效的这样子一个教会。
And what I want to show you is Barnabas is going to be a character study today we're going to have of this person named Barnabas.
我需要 强调的是讲到这个巴拿巴这个人物在其中所扮演的角色。
Because if you look at verse 21 of chapter 11,
如果你看这个十一章的第二十一节那个地方，这样子说
，It says that before Barnabas was there, a great number believed and turned to the Lord.
在那个地方讲到说巴拿巴来到之前啊，主与他们同在，信而归主的人就很多了。
But when Barnabas comes in verse 24, even a great many more were added to the Lord.
但是当巴拿巴来了之后呢，他讲到说，就有更多的人也都归服了主。
So there was a lot of people already coming, but when Barnabas came, it got bigger. It went even bigger, exponentialized, it multiplied.
所以当巴拿巴来之前，已经有人信主来到教会，而巴拿巴来了之后，他们就更多的人来到教会。
So this is the best part because I'll share why in a few minutes. But what did Barnabas do that made it so effective?
要看到底巴拿巴他做了什么事情，让这样子的事工变得如此的有效。
It is very simple.
其实也很简单。
Hard but simple.
很困难，但是其实也很简单。
He encouraged them.
他就鼓励他们。
That's the word. Power of encouragement.
在这个地方中文翻译这个劝勉是讲到这个鼓励的影响。
Okay. And so today we're going to look at that idea of encouragement. What does that power to encourage look like?
我们今天要讲的就是这个我们的题目这个影响，这个鼓励的影响力。
That's the next one. Next slide.Next slide. What does the power of encouragement look like? The second one, why is it needed? Why do we need to encourage each other?
那第二就是要看到为什么我们会需要有这样子的劝勉。
And lastly, how can we do it? So why do we need it, but how can we do it?
第三就是讲到我们如何才能够达到这个劝勉人的效果。
Okay, so those are the points for today. So this is how you'll follow the sermon. I'm just trying to, I always put it out to help us. Okay?
所以我就列出这三点来帮助我们明白今天的经文。
So let's pray.
让我们一起祷告。
Gracious Father, Lord, I thank you for this time this morning to gather as a family.
天父，我们谢谢你，让我们能够今天早上像一家人一样的聚集在这里。
Thank you for gathering brothers, sisters, and friends together to worship you.
谢谢你呼召我们当中弟兄姐妹和朋友一起来敬拜。
We thank you for your gospel that saves.
我们谢谢你那个拯救的福音好消息。
We thank you that we can today witness in the story of Acts the powerful work that you do through Barnabas through encouragement.
我们也谢谢你借着巴拿巴说做的工作怎么样鼓励我们今天的基督徒。
Lord, please teach us to be a church that encourages.And then goes out and does what the Antiochian church does.
愿意我们的教会也成为一个鼓励人的教会，然后可以像安提阿教会一样，出去做你的见证。
I know that for many of us here, some of us are doing really well, but there's quite a few of us also that aren't doing so well.
我们当中有许多人可能一切还很挺顺利，但是也有一些人并不顺利。
And for some of us here, we may not even know you.
我们当中也许有一些人还不认识你。
And Lord, I just want to give you all these people. I ask that your spirit would be with us today.
愿意这些人都将他们交在你的手中，愿你的圣灵也在我们的当中。
Guide us to you today.
带领我们到你的面前。
Give us hearts that would listen and receive your truth with humility.
能够领受你所要给我们的真理。
Lord, this is your time. May you be magnified.
这是你的时间，愿你被高举荣耀。
May your glory be revealed.
愿你的荣耀被彰显。
In Jesus Christ, we pray.
奉耶稣基督的名，阿门。
So what does encouragement look like?
所以这个劝勉是什么样子的情形呢
？And I want the only way we'll understand that is to look a little bit at the story of Barnabas.
所以要明白，我们可以稍微看一下巴拿巴这个人的故事。
So who was Barnabas?
所以巴拿巴是谁呢
？There's only that much information, so don't worry, it's not too long. Acts chapter 4, verse 36.
在使徒行传的第四章第三十六节
，This says this man named Joseph.
第四章的第六节那里说到说
三十六节。
四章的三十六节那他。名叫约瑟，使徒称他为巴拿巴。
Yeah, which means son of encouragement.
巴拿巴翻译出来就是劝慰子。
He was a Levite.
他是一个利未人。
So he has some Jewish tradition in him.
所以他是犹太，有犹太人的背景。
He was from Cyprus.
他生在居比路。
He sold everything he had to help the church.
他把一切田地都卖了，把嫁银出来啊，帮助教会。
Later on in chapter 9, verse 27, we also read some more about Barnabas.
然后我们跳到第九章，我们又看到一些关于巴拿巴的记载。
Barnabas is called, I think, hold on, 9:27. Where is it? Sorry, I got to the wrong page. It says in verse 27, Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles.
所以27节内讲到巴拿巴接待
保罗，
领他去见使徒。
So there you see, Barnabas is the one that is connecting Paul, who used to be a bad guy, who now has become a Christian, to the church.
所以巴拿巴是这个把保罗那个当初曾经这个杀害基督徒的这个人把他带到这个把他和教会，现在他成了基督徒。所以他把他和教会连接在一起，所以他是一个建造桥梁的人。
But I want you to notice the title that they gave him in chapter 4 before.
但是我希望你们能注意到的是，他们给他的这个人的一个称号，在第四章所说的。
They call him the son of encouragement.
他称他为劝慰子。
And the very same similarity of a word is used in chapter 11, verse 23.
同样这个字呢，在这个经文里面是用在第十一章，我们的十一章的第二十三节这个地方。
It says, he encouraged them or exhorted them to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose.
在这个地方就说他劝勉众人。
It tribute.I didn't think about it. I should have thought about this. 劝勉在中文意思, what does that mean? Like translate. I'm bad at Chinese, sorry. It's basically to encourage.
Yeah.
Okay. So I don't know, but when you read the Greek, it has so much meaning. It's like a word that has a paragraph to explain it.
所以在希腊文里面这个字它可以有很多的丰富的意思，甚至要一段话来描述它。
And when you read the English translation for it in different Bibles, it's different words.
所以如果你看英文的翻译的时候，它常常会用不同的英文的字来翻译它。
Some see people say it's encouragement, some people say it's exhortation, some people say it's consolation.
所以它有时候说是安慰或者是劝勉。
So whenever a word's like that, you always go, wait a second, need to study the word, it's probably important.
如果你看到这个字有这样的不同翻译的时候，你就知道你要仔细查考一下这个字的意思。
And the word that it comes from is this word in Greek, parakaleo.
所以这个字是原来希腊文里面叫做 parakaleo.
And this word, you could break it into two pieces.
所以你可以把这个字分成两个字
parakaleo.
Para 和 kaleo.
Para is very cool. It's a word that you get parallel.
Para 这个字就是我们现在所谓的平行这个字的字根。
Yeah, paramedic, paralegal.
Paramedic 这个字。
Or paralegal.、Like、
或者是
legal system,、yeah.
paralegal, 就是这个法律的助理。
And the idea of para is this idea that you come alongside someone, you stand next to them, you come alongside parallel to them.
Parallel 这个它的基本意思就是你来到一个人的旁边与他并行处在他的身，站在他的身边。
But the word kaleo means to call, to point to truth, to call out.
但是后面这个 kaleo 这个字，它的基本意思是呼召，把它指出来的意思。
And you'll know this word if you do something wrong, your parents or I will probably kaleo you.
所以如果你做了什么事情，所以你的父母或者是像我会把它指出来，就是 kaleo.
So I want you to see the word para is gentle. It's very soft.Come alongside you, like a father, like a mother. I support you.
所以 para 这个字是比较温柔的，它是站在你的旁边，与你同行。
But the word kaleo is firm, it's strong, it's you need to do this, you need to do this right.
但是 kaleo 是一个强的，是一个肯定的，一个坚定的字，告诉你说这是你当做的事情。
And when it's used in verse 23 by the author of Acts.
所以在使徒行传的作者十一章二十三节这里他就用了这个字。
It means to encourage, to strengthen, to warn, to reprimand, to admonish. It's very complex.
所以它这个自由可以很多重的意思，它可以代表一种鼓励，或者是给你力量，或者是这个劝诫、警戒你、警告你。
So it's like it's firm, but it's gentle.
它是既坚定，但是同时又是温柔的。
And what you see is the effect of it.
但是你所看到的就是它所产生出来的一种的效果。
Because then what happens is people are remain faithful to God, and they become even more Christians because of it.
所以你看到它的效果就是许多人他们的信心就更加的坚定，更多的人信主。
So this is why the next point: why is encouragement needed?
所以我这第一个点就是说，为什么这样子的劝勉是有需要的？
And we're going to look very quickly, but if you look at verse 19 to 21,
所以我们看十九节到第二十一节。
People were telling people about God.
在那地方大家许多基督徒开始告诉别人关于耶稣基督的事情。
But when you get to verse 25 to 26,
但是你看到第二十五到第二十六节的地方
，it gets deeper. They're discipling them.
他们就开始更近身的要来训练这些门徒。
See, when you're evangelizing, it's pretty surface level. Surface level, like up top.
刚开始的时候可能就是比较表面的。
But when you disciple people, as most Christians here know, it's deep. You go deeper.
所以基督徒知道，当我们开始门徒训练的时候，他就开始朝深的深度发展。
How does it go from surface evangelism to deep discipleship?
所以要怎么样能够从这个一个比较表层的传福音进到这个比较深层的门徒造就呢？
If you look at verse 22 to 24,
如果你看二十四节。
The factor is Barnabas.
就是这个巴拿巴他所做的工作。
The moment it goes from theory to true practice to true application, it's because someone is used by God to create fire. It goes from small fire to big fire.
所以怎么样我们会从理论进到生活的实践里面呢？就是有一个人让上帝来使用在那个地方制造了一个小的火花，以至于引起了一个大的火的复兴。
And what I want to say today is this: His ministry isn't just para ministry. It's not just I come alongside, I'm nice to you, I love you, and I hug you, and I tell you about God in nice ways. No.
所以我们要看到的巴拿巴他所的工作，不单只是说这个站在你旁边这 para 的这样子的工作对你很好，讲一些好听的话，说我跟你这个安慰你。
But it wasn't also the other side of it, which is all, I just call you out. Everything you do is wrong. I judge you. I'm treating you really severely. Was it like that?
他也不是只是严厉的指出你各样的问题，这个做得不好，那个做得不好。
It was both.
而是两者都有。
And the thing about that is, that's how people are. We tend to be para or we're kaleo. We're not para kaleo.
这个可能跟我们每一个人都很像，我们都是偏重有某一方面，我们有时候是 para， 有时候是 kaleo。
We all know people that are kaleo.
我们都知道许多人他们是所谓的 kaleo。
They always find problems with everything.
他总是在你的生活里面找出你各样的问题。
There's a really good quote about this. I love this.
有一个很好的这个引言。
It says, if you in your life always carry a hammer,Everything starts to look like nails.
他说，如果你一生里面你老是带着一个钉锤你看所有的东西都像一个钉子。
It's kind of true, right? And what happens when you hang out with people that are too kaleo? What happens?
如果你和这样子常常带着锤子的人在一起，你的生活会是什么样子呢？
You get really scared. You don't feel comfortable. You're always like, don't know what you're saying is right or wrong. You're always too self-conscious.
你总是会战战兢兢，不晓得如何自处。
It's very stressful.
非常的这个有压力的一种的生活。
But if you're too gentle, what happens?
但是如果你是太过于温柔，会怎么样呢？
Then everybody around you just says everything that you like to hear.
你旁边的人是不是都说一些你喜欢听的话？
Then how will you grow?
但是这样子的话，你怎么能成长呢？
Right, you'll just become a fool.
你长大成了就成了一个傻子。
Because you won't know what you've done wrong.
因为你自己做错什么事情，你都不晓得。
And so both sides, you can be too gentle.You can be too harsh, but nobody, very rarely, is both.
很多的时候，我们要不就是太严厉，要不就是太温柔。很少人能够这个 掌握住这个中啊、这平衡的地方。
My point of saying this today is this: as a church, we need to be more parakaleo. We can't be too severe. We can't be too gentle. We have to have both.
身为一个教会，我们不能够啊、只有啊啊、这个温柔的一面，也不能够只有啊、这个严厉的一面。
Because I think what Barnabas does here is he transforms the entire church because he uses a approach that is both. He's balanced.
所以啊、我们看见啊、巴拿巴能够改变那个的教会，因为他有一个平衡的做法。
And I want you to understand why this is so important because the
为什么我们要看为什么啊、这样子是一个非常重要的事情
？Because the Antiochian church is still around.
因为安提阿教会今天依然存在。
Whether it's the same version, maybe not.
也许不是同样的，跟当时所看见的。
But my point to say is this: the church was profoundly influential. Besides the Roman Church, Roman Catholic Church, the one centered in Rome, Antioch was one of the major points where the faith was continued to grow.
所以安提阿教会在、初代教会的历史里面，除了、像罗马教会以外，它在东方也是一个、重要的这个教会，继续的影响着后来的教会。
Okay, so those are my two first points. My third point then today is that how can we emulate Barnabas? How can we be encouragement to each other?
所以、第三点我们要讲的是说，我们怎么样能够像巴拿巴一样，成为、这个鼓励人的、劝勉人的。
Imagine what our church would look like if we all were encouraging like this.
你可以想象，如果我们的整个的教会都像这样子，能够啊、这样子的彼此的劝勉的话。
I do believe that some Christians have a particular gift to exhort others.
我相信有一些弟兄姐妹他们在这个劝勉的人上的确是有特别的恩赐。
And on a particular level, this is actually one of my spiritual gifts.
在这个某一个程度上来讲，这是我的神给我的恩赐。
But I didn't really understand it until I studied this.
但是我可能不晓得，一直到我看了这一段经文以后。
And I think part of exhorting people is to point them back to Jesus.
我想关于劝勉，其中一点就是要让人能够回到基督的面前。
But what if everything we said, everything we did, was encouraging to others?
如果我们所说的话都是鼓励人的话，会是如何呢？
What if it was like in our relationships with one another? It was in our conversations, our prayers.
如果这样子的、关系呈现在我们与人的、各种的、这个谈话当中，
that we would call people out in truth, but we would also have the grace to walk with them.
我们不但能够、把真理告诉他们，把真实情告诉他们，同时也能够、与他同行。
Because here's the thing about encouragement.
关于、这是我们所要了解关于这个、劝勉的这个事情。
Too many of us like to encourage people, but from a distance.
我们太多的人喜欢、远远的、与人保持距离的来劝勉一个人。
So strong kaleo, low para.
所以我们很多的时候是很有很强的这个、指正，但是却很少的温柔。
One of the big reasons why I do ministry, why I love doing ministry, is the para part.
而我自己喜欢在这个、教会的服事，实际上是这个、温柔的这一。
Because what I've learned is you can't offer people solutions if you're not willing to walk with them.
我想如果我们不能够给人提供什么样的解答，如果我们不愿意与他们同行的话。
And I think our generation, maybe the older folks here, you don't see this yet, but I'll tell you this, the younger generation, this is very important to them.
也许我们当中、这个、年长的不能够明白，但是对年轻的这一代来讲，这个是、para 是非常重要的。
BecauseI think the older generation actually does this better than the younger generation.
也许在年长的这个啊、这个他们的这个时代，他们做的比我们啊、更好。
Because the younger people here, we like social media.
因为年轻的这一代，我们都喜欢社交的啊、这个群体。
So our relationships, our conversations are often very shallow. They're text messages, they're Snapchat, they're WeChat, the texts.
所以我们汉人的交往常常比较肤浅，都是借着一些传一些、简讯、在网上沟通。
And I think the problem is it's not deep. Those conversations are not deep. They're not para.
但是这样子的交往问题是它不够深入， 他不是真的这种的所谓的
It's easier to be a friend from a distance than a friend in need right there to the pain.
所以我们如果只是跟人保持距离和他做朋友总是容易的，但是当他有困难的时候与他同行这是困难的。
And this is what I challenge is that to encourage people, you can't do it without depth with people.
所以我要说的是说，如果我们想要劝勉人，要深入的劝勉，你不能够保持距离。
It requires you to have a connection with them.
如果你希望跟别人有这个连结的话
，you have to have trust, friendship.
你必须对这样的友情能够有所信任。
And I think we're terrible at this, to be very truthful.
我在这方面也许做得很糟。
I think, especially with social media, it makes it super shallow, our friendships.
所以在使用这些社交的网络或者是信息的时候，这些的友情其实是非常的肤浅的。
Every day on Snapchat, I know you guys don't understand it, it's very brief. I see more of my faces friends than I usually see of them. It's always their faces.
所以我常常在用这个 Snapchat 这个东西，就是很短的话，我常常会看到很多他们的头像。
It's just their face. It's just like, it doesn't tell you anything about their lives. Nothing deep. It's just like, oh, I ate this. I went to this place. I caught this Pokemon. It's always just the same things.
所以他们所讲的内容就是都是很肤浅的。我今天吃了什么东西，到了什么地方，抓到什么这个精灵。
And I think, really, no, seriously, to really build encouragement, you have to earn.The privilege to speak into people's lives.
但是你要明白，我们要能够有劝勉人的这样子的权利，我们必须去赢得这样子的别人的信任，在友情上的信任。
And I think in today's world, especially in America, a lot of people don't like to hear about God.
特别是今天在美国的社会里面，很多人不喜欢不愿不希望不喜欢听到关于上帝的事情。
They don't trust the message of God.
他们对传达信息的这个传达的信息的人不信任。
They don't trust because a lot of Christians have burned a lot of bridges.
因为很多的这些基督徒他们自己做了一些破坏人际关系中间桥梁的事情。
A whole generation.
这个整个的世代都如此。
So, I think one of the things that God has taught me over the years is something I've shared with you before, I believe.
神所给我的一个教导，我相信我以前也跟你们分享过。
Is the idea of building bridges? I'm not an engineer, so if you're a structural engineer and a bridge builder, I'm probably wrong, so I apologize.
我是想到关于建立桥梁，虽然我不是这个桥梁工程师，我们当中有这样子的人，也许我讲的不太合理，不过请你们原谅。
So, when students ask me how do I build relationships with people, I say I build bridges.
所以当人家讲到说我们怎么样建立友情的时候呢，我的回答就是说建立桥梁。
When we build bridges,
当我们建立桥梁的时候
it takes time.
需要花时间的。
You have to start from both sides, hopefully, right? That's the most efficient way to do it.
也许最有效的方法应该从两边开始一起盖。
If you go to the Bay Area, and you look at the Bay Bridge, they just finished it, but like, when they first start doing it, usually it's a wood bridge.
所以你们看这个建桥梁的，像比方说在 Bay Area 这个地方，他们刚开始建的时候，可能就是建一个木桥
，or like frame, right?
就只是一个结构，一个架构。
Well, it's like relationships. When you first meet someone, the bridge you build with them is made out of wood. It's not very strong. It's very shallow.
所以你刚开始与人相交往的时候，你们的友情可能就像这个木头的桥一样，不是非常强的。
You can't put.On the bridge, otherwise the bridge would垮, break. Right?
所以你不能够把太重的东西放在这桥梁上面，不然这个桥是会垮
掉。Just like serious things, you can't just tell people all the heavy stuff about their life.
所以你不能够在刚有初步的友情的时候，你把你生命里面那些沉重的东西都搬出来。
But as your friendship gets deeper, what happens?
但是当你们的这个友情深入以后，
又如何呢？
所以又开始用石头来建筑。
You can put some heavy stuff, but not too much.
你可以放一些重的东西在上面，让它经过这个桥梁，但也不能够太重。
But as time passes, as you build friendship, you build trust, you build relationship, what happens?
但是当你们继续的建立起这个互信的这个有这关系以后，会变成怎么样子的情形？
That's a really well composed shot. The next slide. I'm from the Bay Area, so I'm biased. So I like bridges.
所以我住在我是从 Bay Area 来，所以我喜欢那边的，我对那个地方有偏好。
But when you build a bridge this strong, you could put a lot of stuff on it.
如果你建立起像这样子的坚固的桥梁，你可以放让它承受很多的重力。
And I think that's the bridge you want to build with people.
这是你们希望与人建立起来的一种的关系。
People that know me.Most of you guys here either have stone bridges, some have wooden bridges, let's be honest.
让我们很诚实的说，你们当中对我的认识，我们的这个认识友情，可能就像木头的，或者是顶多是石头的这样。
Some of us don't even have bridges yet, but we could change that. We could always be for coffee.
但是我想我们可以改变这样子，让我们之间的关系更深入。
But over time, some of you here are bay bridges. You're like this to me.
所以经过一段时间以后，也许你们跟我之间的关系就像这样子的一个钢铁的桥梁。
The material, the content you talk about is not easy to listen to. If you heard it as a wooden bridge, it would break your friendship.
在这种情况之下，我们所能谈的深入的这样子的问题如果只是一个在桥，我们的关系只有木头的这样的桥梁，我们的这个关系很快就破灭了。
And so today I'm trying to point this out to you that we need more Parakaleo bridge builders.
所以我们今天要讲的就是我们当中需要有更多的像这样子温柔又坚定的友谊的桥梁的建造者。
Because later on Paul writes these words. He writes to in 2 Timothy. He writes a letter to Timothy, his little brother.
所以保罗在这个提摩太后书的时候就写信给他的这个徒弟，或者是说他的亲爱的小弟兄。
He says, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. The word exhort, parakaleo.
所以在这个地方他就讲到说无论勿要传道，无论得时不得时，总要专心并用各百般的忍耐各样的教训，责备人，警戒人，劝勉人，就是 parakaleo.
Yeah, and in Titus, a letter to a church planting team on an island of Crete.
所以当他在这个写信给这个提多的时候
He uses the same word. Declare these things, exhort, rebuke with all authority. Let no one disregard you.
他就讲到说这些事情你要讲明劝诫人用各等权柄责备人，不可叫人轻看你。
And I want you to see today.
所以我希望你们今天所能看见的，所学到的
Even in the church, they would use this word because this word meant you need to have these strong relationships to challenge people, to love them, to call them out.
所以在教会里面就会需要有这样子的这个指正，但是同时又是与人同行这种 parakaleo 的这种的劝勉。
And here is kind of like closing, to, kind of coming down to the finishing point is how is Barnabas able to do this? Why was he able to truly have an impact?
我现在要进到这个我们讲章的最后，要看巴拿巴是怎么样能够成为这样子的，产生这样子的一个影响的一个人。
If you read it, verse 24, it says he was a good man.
如果你看他这个十一章的第二十四节，他是这样讲，他说巴拿巴原是一个好人
，full of the Holy Spirit and of faith.
这个被圣灵充满又大有信心。
See, Barnabas wasn't by himself. He had the help.This Holy Spirit.
所以你知道巴拿巴不是一个人，他乃是有圣灵在旁边帮助他。
And it's interesting he says this because if you go to Jesus' own words in the upper room discourse.
所以如果你这个回去看这个耶稣基督在被卖之前那个楼上的这个讲论。
Jesus before he dies,
在耶稣被卖之前
，He says, "I will ask the Father; He will give you another Helper."
他就说要求父，父会赐给你们另外一位保惠师。
The idea of helper again is the word for parakaleo. It's parakletos.
这个字保惠师这个字同样也是用 parakaleo 这个字表示出来的。
He's, of course, talking about the Holy Spirit, right? We know that.
我们当然知道他在这地方讲到这个保惠师指的就是圣灵。
But in that verse, you see another helper.
所以你看到他这个地方讲到说另一位。
So who is the other helper?
那如果是那么如果说是另一位，那么还有另外一位又是谁呢？
Who's that helper?
那是另外一位保惠师是谁呢？
And if you read 1 John chapter 2,
如果你看这个约翰一书的话，
what John says, the Apostle John says, is anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous.
所以在约翰福音第二章的地方，他就讲到说，若有人犯罪，在父那里我们有一位中保，就是那义者耶稣基督。
The idea of a lawyer, that advocate, right? What does that mean?
所以啊，这个地方好像有一个啊，这个律师在你的身旁为你辩护，他这样子是什么意思呢
？He's a lawyer that stands beside you.To defend your case before a judge.
所以是这个律师站在你旁边为你在这个审判官前辩护。
This is like a kind of theological thing, but that's what Jesus is like. He is an advocate for us. He stands before God and he says, I'm his lawyer. I represent this man who is a sinner, but I died for his sin.
所以这也许有一点，这个是基本神学上的这样的观念，好像是说，耶稣基督他站在我们的身旁，向上帝替我们辩护，说
这个我代表这个人，他是一个罪人，但是我死为他付偿清了他的罪的代价。I have paid for this person's sin. I have paid for your sin.
所以他是说，我已经在上帝面前说，我为他付了这个赎价。
So.He cannot be tried for the same sin anymore.
所以你不能够再用同样的罪名来定他的罪。
And then, so that's Jesus. Jesus is with the Lord. He's advocating for us in heaven. But on earth, we have another helper to help us.
所以耶稣基督他在天上为我们做我们的这样子的另外一位保惠师，而今天在地上我们有圣灵做我们的保惠师。
Yes, the Spirit. If you read John chapter 16.
如果你看约翰福音的第十六章的话
,13-15. You just read it in Chinese.
第十三节到第十五节。约翰福音第十六章对不起我看。约翰福音第十六章第十三到第十五节，只等真理的圣灵来了，他要引导你们明白一切的真理，因为他不是凭自己说的，乃是把他所听见的都说出来，并要把将来的事告诉你们。他要荣耀我，因为他要将授予我的告诉你们。凡父所有的都是我的，所以我说他要将授予我的告诉你们。
We have the Spirit.Who points us back to Him?
我们有圣灵指引我们回到耶稣基督那里。
We're being advocated by Jesus in heaven and on earth. We have the Spirit guiding us to look to Jesus, to look to God.
所以我们有耶稣基督在天上为我们来辩护，而我们在地上有圣灵指引我们归向耶稣。
That's the power that gives Barnabas strength to parakaleo with people.
所以这是巴拿巴领受到的这样子的能力，所以他能够有这种温柔又坚定的这种劝勉。
A lot of people sometimes they will say when you see the Holy Spirit, they call it the Paraclete.
所以有时候讲到圣灵的时候，我们会讲说他是 Paraclete.
Paraclete, yeah. It's like a dirty theological. Like some books will have it. They're like, what does that mean? Oh, the Holy Spirit.
这个有其实，在神学里面，这个经常它意思就是圣灵的意思。
He's with you. He's calling you. He's pointing you to God. He's with you. He's never leaving you alone.
他圣灵与我们同在，他不会弃我们于不顾要指引我们归向耶稣基督。
So I'll share a story of how God taught me about encouragement.
让我分享一个故事。神怎么样教导我们教导我能够有这样子的劝勉。
I don't think I've ever shared the story not with you guys.
我想我可能没有跟你们说过分享过这个。
It's a story about the first person I ever baptized.
是关于这个我所第一个所这个施洗的人。
Because I wasn't looking to be baptizing anybody at that point. I was an intern, so I didn't think about baptizing.
我那时候这个是这个实习生，所以我没有想说要为人施洗。
So our church in the Bay Area, my old church, I served at. One of the things is of all these different churches that basically we have a Craigslist of the local community's needs and churches would take turns trying to serve the community people that couldn't help themselves we would serve them
所以在这个北爱人那个教会里面我们有一个像一个 教会间的联这个联络的网络，好像 Craigslist 一样，把所有需要的这个教会里面的需要都列在上面，然后我们试着教会提供这样子的帮助。
But it wasn't just that within the church, we were also connected to social services of the city of Fremont.
所以其实这里面不仅仅是有教会参与，也有当地的这个社会服务机构参与在其中。
And one of the things that we would do is our church basically would give old people
that are sick and older, ride to the hospital.
我们其中所做的一个服务的性质的工作，就是让这些年长身体有需要到这个医院去的人就提供交通的协助。
So one day.My pastor called me and said, hey, Helicon, there is a need. None of us can give rides. Can you help us fill in for this, to give this old lady, this lady a ride, Marilyn?
So, 有一天，我的牧师就跟我讲说，啊，这里有一个这个老太太需要这样的协助，你可不可以去帮忙？
And
I gave her a ride.
所以我就在她。
And Marilyn is this lady that had something wrong with lung cancer.
Meredith 他是有这个肺癌的一个人，
所以
他老是就是身上总是带着氧气筒，带着一个氧气罩。所以我本来不认识他，但是接下来几个礼拜，我每个礼拜大概两次带他去医院。
And she would always like the funniest thing about her is she would after a checkup.She would come out and she would say, wait, Helicon. And I'll be sitting there like, what? And she would like, she'd take off her oxygen, turn it off, and she'll smoke a cigarette.
这个每次这个他看完病以后，这个他就会出来跟我讲说，哎，Helicon，再等我一下。然后他就把那个氧气罩拿下，然后就开始吸他的烟。
I'm like, come on, man, you're not supposed to smoke, it's killing you. You already died, you don't need to smoke anymore.
我心里想说，你怎么可以还在吸烟的？这烟的要。要害死你了。
So we would talk about a lot of things.
所以我们就聊了很多不同的事情。
And I think the thing that we really talked about was C.S. Lewis.
我们那时候也讲到关于这个 C.S. Lewis 的这个作者。
And you know, I didn't think much of it, but we became friends.
我也没本来也没想太多，后来我们就成了朋友。
Maybe the span of like a month.
所以我们在一起大概有一个月的时间。
One day she calls me and she says, "Helicon, I want to be baptized."
有一天他就打电话跟我说Helicon, 我想要接受洗礼。
I want to recommit my life to Jesus.
我愿意把我的生命献给主。
I was like, I have no idea what to do.
我都不晓得该怎么办。
So I emailed like, you know, the former pastor here. I emailed my pastor in San Francisco or the Bay Area. We just asking for advice. Like, what do I do? What do I do? I don't know what to do. And ended up, she invited all her neighbors to come to her house and she told them about Jesus.
所以我就到处问我们那附近的这些牧师说我不晓得该怎么办，结果到最后他就邀请了他这个邻舍一起到他家里面听他讲耶稣基督的事情。
And the reason I share that story with you guys is, I didn't do much. I just parroted a lot more than Khalil.
所以我想要讲的是是这样我跟他在一起其实我没有做太多教导指引的工作，我多半是只是陪他同行的工作。
But she was such a powerful witness.
但是她是极为有力的一个做见证的人。
And actually, she passed away in 2010.
她在2010年的时候过世。
And you remember I was going on a missions trip to Thailand.
你还记得我那时候是在泰国做宣教。
Or the nurse called me and said, "This is right before that I was going to leave. Like 2 days before, and she says, 'Hey, Marilyn wants to see you. She's freaking out. Could you come talk to her?'"
所以在我要离开的前两天，这个医院的护士打电话给我说 ，Marilyn 这个她非常的惊恐，希望跟你讲话。
So I came with, I came, I sat with her.
I think I would have said this because we're friends enough. I would joke like this, but you shouldn't do it if you don't know the person. I said, told you not to smoke the cigarettes. 所以我就读了，我坐在他旁边读了一些圣经给他听。
And I just remember, like her finding incredible trust and peace in God.
所以我看见他在神里面找到那个平安跟这个的确据。
So I left after she fell asleep. She was peace.
所以后来他平静下来，他睡着了。
I think she passed away later that day.
后来他大概不久那天就过世了。
What was sad was I never got to see her funeral because I already flew to Thailand.
我很难过，因为我没有机会参加她的婚礼，因为那时候我人已经飞到这个泰国去。
But I was told by the nurses afterwards, like they had some of the newbie, that she had died peacefully. That everything after that conversation, she had found peace with God and it was okay. She was not afraid anymore.
后来这个有一些护士认识我的护士就跟我讲，她那个之后她在很平静当中过世了，她就不再对死亡有这样子的恐惧。
In many ways, that story is what encouragement looks like.
对我而言，那个故事就是让我明白这个所谓的劝勉的意思是什么。
You don't know how you will encourage people.
你其实不晓得你会怎么样的来劝勉一个人。
It's that balance between parakaleo.
那是在这个这种坚定和温柔当中的一个平衡。
That incredible things can happen in God's kingdom.
在神的国度里面，许多特别奇异的事情都会发生。
It's a calling for all of us.
那对我们每一个人来讲，这都是给我们的呼召。
So the question today, before I go to communion, is what if our church family here, all of us here, was filled with the same desire to encourage one another?
所以在我进到圣餐之前，我们所要问的这样的问题是说，你可不可以想象，如果我们每一个在教会里面的这些人都做一个像这样子的一个能劝勉的人
？How would we look as a family？
我们成为一个大的家庭会是什么样的情形呢
？This is why I serve. I'm an optimist by nature.
我是这个本性上是极度乐观的一个人。
But I believe that God calls us to be that beautiful, beautiful people.
我相信上帝要我们成为一个美丽的人。
Let us pray.
让我们祷告。
Father God,
父神
，Thank you so much again for this text.
再次谢谢你给我们这段经文。
Thank you for this reminder that we may also be a part of encouraging one another in you.
我们每一个人都能够为你成为劝勉人的人。
As we have been given the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete to walk with us, to guide us.
能让圣灵成为我们的这个保惠师。
Lord, I pray that we would desire to be paracleo to those in our community.
也让我们成为在我们四周的人的这样子的一个劝慰子。
May we do so with love, with prayer, with building of bridges.
能够借着我们的温柔建立起这样子友谊的桥梁。
But Lord, will we not just be a church that does it with each other, but will we be like Antioch Church? Will we reach into our community and be parakaleo to the community we have around us?
让我们不单是在教会里面我们互相的劝慰，也在我们的社区里面向外也能够成为这样子的一个劝慰的人。
Father, I pray for each person here today as we come to take the communion.
这时候求你让我们每一个属于你的人能够来到你面前圣餐的桌前。
May we do so with a sense of deep reverence for you.
在这里存着一个极度敬畏的心。
And may we honor you today.
能够让你的名得到尊荣。
In Jesus Christ's name we pray.
奉耶稣基督的名我们祷告。
Amen. So do we break into communion right now straight? We're ready to communion, right?
Yeah.
Okay. To explain a little bit about communion, first of all, I kind of want to share that in the old times, this is one of the ceremonies that was the most guarded ceremony by the Christians. I was preaching the first service about communion, was that communion was one of those things that was only meant for those that had been baptized as believers. And they did that in the old times because they wanted to make sure you understood what you were committing to, that we didn't take...the communion, the Eucharist, lightly. It was something very serious, very special. So that's why it was such a mystery to people that were outside. They didn't know what it was. They thought Christians were actually eating, drinking blood and eating flesh. They didn't understand it was a symbolic thing. There was a spiritual aspect to it. And so they thought it was very mysterious. But for us, when we take it today, I want you to understand it is very precious. It is very powerful. It is one of the most important celebrations a Christian is called to do. There's two things that Jesus says we should be doing. Baptisms, I think he says baptisms, and also communion, taking the bread and drinking the wine. Okay, and the reason I say this is you can believe, it's a theory, but when you take the bread, what you're saying is you become a part of it. You, as a family, we all partake of the body together. That means that we are all sharing in this memory of Jesus. If you look at bread and you don't never eat it, you will never be fed by it. It will never affect you physically. But to truly affect you, you have to take it to understand what it's about. And it changes the way you live. It gives you the energy to live outward the faith. So when you take communion, think about that. Consider what Jesus has done on the cross, what he has given his life for, and that he didn't just die, he also resurrected. And there is hope, there's renewal. That you have been empowered through this memory to live a life to honor God. And so as we take communion today, take it with reverence, take it with that reflection, take it with that thought. Don't just look at it, partake in it. And as we take it today, we take it together as a big family. I'll explain some more as we go forward. So Jesus, Paul, in the words of 1 Corinthians, he says that as often as you eat this bread or you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. It's verse 26. And so today as we partake of these things, I want to invite you to reflect, to pray, and to come up, or we're going to pass it out, right? We're going to pass out the bread, and we'll hold it together, and then we'll take it together as a family, as a community, as a body for Jesus. All right?
Thank you.